Hi, welcome to Havila's Podcast. I'm your host, Havila Cunnington, and we are jumping into a brand new series this month. I'm excited about this series because I don't know about you, but relationships can be really fun and really complicated. And what I want to do is kind of unpack some of the relational things that I see when I'm around different ones. Like I get to travel. I meet a lot of leaders. I meet a lot of business owners, a lot of moms. And what I find is that there's not a straight path to figuring out your relationships, that a lot of times there's an equation. And oftentimes, if you can figure out the equation of the relationship, you do better, you succeed. And sometimes I sit across tables from different women and say, and they're nervous about who they are or what the relationship is like. And I have to say, oh no, that's normal. Where you are and what you're trying to pull off is very normal. And other times I want to say, you are working too hard and let me help you. And so my heart in this podcast, this season and this series is to help uncomplicate and maybe add that equation, add that puzzle piece to your relationship so you can build that relationship that you've been wanting to build, whether you've been in it for a year or whether you've been in it for 20 years. Listen, our relationships, someone said it so well. They said, how would you define marriage and being married a long time? And they said, you never stop working on the relationship. And somehow in their mind, they thought you stop, right? Like you hit the 15-year mark, check, we're done. It's easy. But the truth is a relationship takes work. And maybe a better way to say it is nurture. It takes negotiation. It takes navigating. It takes editing. And so wherever you are in the relationship journey, even if you don't have that person yet, I always say, prep, get ready, listen to these things, build your tool belt so you're prepared to build the thing that you have in your heart in the future. So today I'm really excited because I not only have a genius of a woman with me, but I have my very own friend, Michelle Thompson is here with me and I'm really excited. I know I can hear my friends cheering in the background because Michelle and I have been friends, really close friends for almost 8 years. It's mm-hmm. wild to think about that. We started a small group. She had a small group. I got invited into that small group.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And then Michelle's also a leader at our church, an elder, but also her and her husband run a thriving company. I don't even know really how to explain it other than it's a lot and they have built something from the ground up. It is very successful and amazing. And Michelle has her hands in that as well. They have three beautiful kids and Michelle's also leading a mission trip to Ecuador, like in about 10 days or whatever. So, you know, she's got a lot going on. And I just, first of all, want to say, Michelle, thanks for being on the podcast.
It is so fun to be here with you, Hav.
I love you so much. You know, today I wanted to talk about what it looks like to be as like a high functioning couple. Like, what does it look mm-hmm. like to be in a relationship where you both are producing, you're both going for it, and yet you also want to have a healthy relationship and you're not just roommates.
I love that.
So I want to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. I know you have things to talk about. I have things to talk about, but there are a lot of people that are watching this or here that are like, okay, we both are high functioning in different ways. How do we come together and how does it work? So tell us a little bit about your marriage, how you started, maybe the shocking part of how you're in it and how you would label your marriage as high functioning couple. What would that look like?
Yeah. Well, for starters, it's super easy.
Yeah.
No big deal. Uh-huh. No big deal. Except that it's a huge deal. I think that for those of us that are called to do a lot, and we all are in our own areas, in our own lanes, but when God puts two people together that are going to do a lot together in different arenas, you better get ready because it's not choosing really a path that's been done before. Because, I mean, I think that's that way probably in any marriage. You're two different people coming together and the Lord's going to lead you on that path. But when you're going to do things that are off normal. They're off the grid. They're off roading. You better be prepared to take some, I mean, it's not paved.
It's not paved. And it's not. How long have you and Ted been married?
We've been married for 18 years.
18 years.
I know. We were babies, but not really. We were 24 and 26. But when I look back, I'm like, okay, we were babies.
Yeah.
I don't think we had a clue what we were getting ourselves into.
No.
I still remember when we got married, we'd been married for like, I think
maybe 3 months, and Ted pitched his first business idea to me. Like, this is what we're going to do. This is what it's going to look like. It makes so much more sense to work for yourself than to work for somebody else because of this and this and this. And I mean, he pitched hard, and I just bought it. I was just like, you sound right. But I had no idea. I was not raised by an entrepreneur in an entrepreneurial family. My dad was a lawyer, and everything really was like, it made sense.
Yes.
It had categories that it fit in, and it was planned out. So when Ted was pitching this, like, we're going to go into our business for ourselves idea, I didn't know to question if that was going to be challenging or not. I'm kind of glad I didn't know, because we just started an adventure, like just a couple months into our marriage.
Wow.
And it's been an adventure since then.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, you are adventurous as a person. Like, I know that you traveled before you were married. You had lots of things that you like to do. You're athletic. I always think you're my athletic friend.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, all the things. But I know in the beginning, I was married 18 years ago. So I remember that season.
Yes.
You know, it was after the internet world. Everyone's like, how long ago was that? But I do know that at that season, you are trying to figure it out. So you jump in, you start this business. Is it the same business you're doing today?
It is. That's taken several different iterations and morphed and changed, which is the only consistent thing in business. It's just going to keep changing as long as we're in it. And I've gotten more and more comfortable with that. But yeah, that's where we started. And then a few months after we started that, the housing crash happened. So that was great. We were in residential electric work at that point. And so then all of his numbers really didn't pan out. And then we held on to each other's hands and figured it out. And we've been doing that for a long time. But there is something special about marriages that do this up and down and all around, whatever we want to call it, entrepreneurial, yes, high functioning,
yes,
relationships. I think that there's just like, you're in for an adventure. It's not boring.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the main things, I would say, just don't expect normal to be your life if you're in this kind of a category. I just think this idea, if it's supposed to look like this or something we've seen modeled, that's not probably accurate, because you're doing something, like we said, different. You're doing something really extraordinary. And
did
that's
you know
what these
that
look
it was
like.
Extraordinary? Like when you started, did you have this dilemma of, oh, this is exciting, but we're not getting into normal yet? And are we getting into normal soon? Did you have that?
I definitely thought normal would start happening at some point, but it still hasn't. But I wouldn't want it to. I wouldn't want it to. But there's things we've learned along the way in marriage that I think are lifelines, are essential. So I feel like every day we're getting more tools to do this, but we're doing it really well. And so after we started that company, the housing market crisis, we made it through that. And then we moved up to Reading, where we're doing a different iteration of that exact same company and also getting to do ministry. And so we've added more plates to what we're carrying. And it's like I'm seeing, as the years go on, the capacity to hold the things you're meant to do in life grow as you steward the one thing and then the next thing and then the next thing. You'd be amazed what you can do. It's this equipping that happens a lot of times out of discomfort. A lot of times you're choosing not to be afraid. You're choosing to, what the difference between fear and wisdom. You're learning all these things, and then the Lord keeps adding to your high-functioning marriage, and you don't break because you've been grown into it.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of that.
That's beautiful. I want to go back to something you said, which was you had to learn a lot of tools and different things, like you had to relearn.
Yeah.
So like, what are some of those things that you look back and thought, if I was going to tell a young woman or a young guy who's watching this and goes, I think I'm either in that marriage or I'm about to join that marriage, or, you know, we're in it, but I've never thought of it like that. What are some things that have helped you along the way?
Yeah. Wow. Just the idea of thinking about a young person in that phase gives me, first of all, a ton of compassion. and also a lot of excitement. Mm. So it's both. And I would say you've seen some things. You're expecting one thing, but then, okay, we talked about my dad and his predictability, and yeah. then I married a serial entrepreneur. Nothing about the way that I was raised is the way that we are raising our kids and living. And like, I think the sooner that we let that go and accepted that normal or average wasn't going to be the bar that we were going to rate our lives with, the more in sync we were able to get together with creating our normal, which was going to be different.
Wow. I love that. Our normal.
Yeah. And then I also think too, we hear a lot about life balance, you know, like you should be getting this amount of this and this amount of this and inputting this much relationally and this much work. And it should look like this beautiful balanced picture. And I think that's great. I love the idea of that. But I feel like in these sort of high functioning, doing a lot, entrepreneurial families and couples, I see a different cadence. It's not as much the 24-hour cycle of balance that we're going for, but rather we look at it seasonally. So some seasons we are plowing through. We are waking up early, going to bed late. We are building something. It's the meet the deadline, do the thing you have to do, whatever it takes to do it. And then the season of rest comes after that. The season of harvest, the season of the, so it doesn't look so much like work-life balance like we talk about. But that would be so easy and simple. But it's not. Rather, it's what, like, really, what's God doing in that moment? What's he up to? How are we partnering with God? Are we being asked to build the thing right now? Are we being asked to let somebody else run what we've built and take a season of rest? Or is it jump both feet in? Or is it, let's focus on our 11-year-old. Let's make this a season of this. And I think that's the beauty of walking with both the Holy Spirit and your partner, where you get to decipher what's God doing, and that's the season you're in.
That's beautiful.
It might not look balanced.
Yeah.
It just might not, but you might be right in the right spot.
I love that. I so identify with the seasonal, and I think with Ben and I and how we are a high-functioning couple, meaning I don't think you can do that forever and ever and ever. So there's these parts of our lives where,
I mean, I've tried that.
Right, we have two.
That doesn't work.
No,
I don't recommend.
In counseling's office and or sick. But that idea of seasonal, like, I know I can push for this. Okay, these next 3 months are travel months. It's gonna look nothing like normal, nothing like average. I'm probably not gonna be we're not gonna be having dinner together all the time. We're not going to be having Saturday. Let's go for a walk. Like, it's gonna be one parent's gone. Out of the house for a little bit. It's going to be having to catch up, but it's seasonal. And then when you get the time, you really want to soak in that time. It's like, and we know it's coming to an end. I think there is that really hard part of a high functioning person, even where the things we ignored to get us there to the success now is the thing that has the potential to sabotage us.
Absolutely.
Right? So I think in our marriage is the same way. Like, okay, I'm working so hard and we both are sacrificing to get there. But then wait a minute. We didn't even stop to celebrate what we did. And we're on to the next thing. And we're all saying we're all in this. But there has to be that, I almost want to say that the breath.
Holy downtime.
Yes.
So how celebration do you do that? And connection. Well, you tell me how.
Well,
how
I
do we
know
do
for
that?
You, every summer you go down to the ocean and you spend time as with friends.
Yes.
I know you and you guys have a cabin that you'll sneak away to, a little cute cabin in the snow. For me, it's, I have to have blocks of my calendar. Like, I am from Thanksgiving to after New Year's. I don't do any traveling speaking.
Yeah.
I know that in the summer, I don't go away for longer than a week from my kids. Mm-hmm. It's just really important. I try to take them with me.
I love that.
Yeah, you know, we try, but I'm with you. Like, it's just not that simple. Like, we're not mechanical. We're not robots. So it is complicated. And I think when, if you're not careful, you can get into a really bad spot really fast and you don't know how it happened because you had every intention to do it well.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
so what do you do when you start feeling that kind of, we haven't had a breath yet?
Well, we were talking before we started recording this, and we were talking about the off-road nature of doing something like this. And we have ATVs, and well, I say we.
Yes, you do.
Okay,
that's
Ted.
How you, it was my first experience. Was oh, on that's that. Right. Oh, yeah. I, okay. Yeah. So, I did not know what I was getting invited into.
When you, sorry about that. When you go off-roading in an ATV, you are prepared. You're out there. You need a spare tire. You need a way to inflate that tire. You need extra water because something could happen that means you're not able to get back at the time frame you're supposed to. You need all these supplies before you go off-roading. And I look at that supply list, and I think that supply list could be really close relationships. I feel like that's your tire. That's you need people that you can trust to tell you, hey, that push season, that needs to come to an end. You've been pushing too long and it's depleting your relationships. That's a big thing. You need those people in your life that you trust more than you trust yourself, that would be able to look from the outside at what's happening and give you really good feedback. I think that's essential. I think the walk with the Holy Spirit and walk with the Lord that you're both in together. I mean, there's your water, right? There's your bread. Like, you need to be in a place where you're getting spiritually fed. You're not being depleted in your spiritual life, but you're having those one-on-one times with the Lord. You're getting to the place where the Holy Spirit is. You're making sure your home is a sanctuary. You're keeping your spiritual life together. Wow. And then I even look at like the emotional world, the things that we need in order to be healthy people have to stay nurtured and have to be, even if you're on this off-roading adventure, you're going to really matter in the middle of that. And I think that's another thing, have that if we are aware of our needs, and if we're not, because the thing that can happen is when you start plowing through into this thing that you feel life on, you feel God on, you see at the end this huge goal reward, you can stop being aware of what you need, which is those things we just talked about, spiritually, mm-hmm. emotionally, mm-hmm. relationally. And I think that for those of us that are up for pushing, that can do it, those of us with the capacity to be like, yes, I'm thirsty, but that's okay. This is a danger for us.
It is.
We have got to be aware of our needs, aware of our body's needs, aware of our heart's needs, and willing to do what it takes to create the space, create the time to get those needs met, because we just can't plow through it.
You can't. And I love
the results are disastrous.
Yes. And I think what I picked up on the first thing that you talked about was really having your spare tire, your team.
Yeah.
And I think in couples that are going as strong and as hard as some of us do, yep. it's very challenging for that one person to be a gas in the brake. It actually causes a lot of tension in the house. If it's, right. I'm always saying no and you're always saying yes or opposite. Mm-hmm. So to have a team allows there to be a third party that isn't, you know, is not, it's, it creates less tension in the relationship. So mm-hmm. we do the same thing. Like, I'd rather go to a counselor and have a conversation about me not getting my needs met than me just always saying, my needs aren't getting met, my needs aren't getting met, or hit the same way with him. Right. So I think that that's important. I always say, in the way that I would look at it, is like, build your team.
Absolutely.
Your team is what
I love
need,
that.
Right? So build a team around you. It specifically, it was mm-hmm. really, I'll be honest, I grew up in a home where my dad was very entrepreneurial and my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And she loved her job. Like, she loved it with a passion. She did not work out of the home to this point. And it was very challenging for the picture in my head of what our marriage was going to be. I thought, oh, we're going to do this for a little bit and then we're going to sink back into normal.
Right.
And then when you realize, and so I had to really give myself permission to say, you did not have this like demonstrated to you. So it's scary. Because you don't know who to look to. And even if you go to ask your mom or your dad or anybody, so you kind of look for couples that like, and that's what we found, is look for people that have done it because they have a different understanding. We had this one guy in our school whose wife is a very successful pharmacist, and he would get the kids and he would take care of them. And at that point I was traveling a lot and Ben would take care of the kids. And I remember him looking at Ben and I and saying, you guys get us. Like, I get it. And so my husband and him would always connect when we were at school. We would pick up his kids. They pick up ours. And when her and I would see each other, it was an automatic, we get it. Yeah. And I think you have to be known like that. If you're in a group of people that are so different than you are all the time,
I think it can cause friction because your friend's talking about, you know, going away on Saturday and having fun on the boat. And you're thinking, my husband's gone for 4 days and I'm tired. So right. I think that that's a good thing is to find those similar people.
And yes. And I think also finding people that you can be real and vulnerable with is something that is priceless and it's hard to find. And when you find yourself in many areas leading, it becomes even more challenging. However, it's even more important. So I would just, in that tool bag, in that team, you have people that you are just real and raw with. Like you talk numbers, you talk where you're at relational. Those people are not going to be everybody, but they are so invaluable and so needed. And you know, also it's really takes a lot of bravery to have them in your corner and on your team. It's a risk.
It is.
And it's a risk worth taking. Both Ted and I don't share automatically. That's not our MO, but we are deliberate in making sure. And it requires us making ourselves do it. It's a choice to find people that we're pulling into our corner and lots of vulnerability, because that's the way that we can really be known. And that's the way that intimacy happens. And that's the only way I see us being able to walk out the life that God has put in front of us with health.
It's beautiful.
Essential.
That's beautiful.
And challenging. But worth it.
Now, you said something that I loved. You talked about making sure that your home is safe and that it's a place of nurture. Mm-hmm. And you guys don't know, but Michelle, like when you go to her house, it is nurturing and warm and it always feels like home. So I'm curious.
I'm so glad.
I know, but I do. I'm curious, how do you intentionally set your home up to be a safe place in a lifestyle that's probably pretty busy?
Really busy.
Yeah.
That's a great question. Yesterday was Sunday.
Yeah.
And we got back from church and had plenty to do. But we decided to watch Pollyanna on our big blue velvet sectional as a family. All of us just, we call it cuddle puddling.
I love it. And cuddle puddling.
Cuddle puddling on the couch, watching a movie like that was one of the best decisions we could make. And I think that we're constantly making the choices that are either going to take more or let it be a place to revive.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too, in a marriage, which I like to call a mature marriage of 18 years old.
Yep.
It's mature. I remember being a newlywed and thinking, like, okay, that thing that just happened, it is a hill to die on. There were so many hills to die on as a young married couple. Mm-hmm. And now there just aren't that many that it's worth losing the peace in our home over. There just aren't that many that I am willing to disrupt the place of sanctuary that my home is to be. And when I do, because I will, and I do, I really regret it, because that's not stewarding my home and my environment. And that's my domain.
Yeah.
And so I am learning in this season that keeping peace in my home, which doesn't mean not addressing things that need to be addressed. That is not what I am talking about. But rather, this is going to be a sanctuary. We're going to do whatever it takes to make it that relationally, which as much counseling as we need, we're doing it. But this home is going to be a place where we come and find rest.
I love that.
We are winning.
You are.
Lots of the time, not all of the time.
You know what's funny, Michelle? One of the things I think about in a way that you've created your home is, in at least the two homes that I've been in, you've always wired speakers in your home.
Oh, yes.
Right?
That's Ted.
I know. And so you have music outside and inside, and there's an atmosphere.
Yeah.
And so I think of like a practical way for those that are like, we do that as well. We have an alarm clock that goes off in our house, Alexa, and she has worship music, and it comes on every morning
at
8 a.m. Sometimes it's Christmas music for December, but it's those kind of like intentional things that set you up rather than like, let's jump in. It's like, okay, just a little notice of like, this is our sanctuary. This is our safe place.
Oh yeah.
And we did the same thing yesterday. I came home late from a trip on Saturday night and just thought, I need to be home. I need to just be home, and got in our little jacuzzi and just, we watched a movie together in front of the fire. And, you know, we worked really hard and then we get to have a minute and then I'll work really hard again. But just those minutes.
And don't you think that's it too, is not waiting to have fun, not waiting to relax until everything is done. I don't think it's ever going to be done.
That's really good.
And I needed to learn that so badly. I am such a responsible, my husband though, he needs to have fun in the middle of the, whatever it is we're doing to keep him going.
Yeah.
And I'm learning that, like, waiting until we've finished to have a good time, to enjoy connection, to watch a movie on the couch, to go in the hot tub, that's not sustainable. That's not how we get to where we are going when we are high functioning.
I love that.
Couples. And those landmarks of like, we're going to do this. Yeah. And then we're going to do this. And hey, it's just Sunday, but we're going to watch a movie, because that's a nice reset before we head into what will be a very challenging, big, full of things to do and accomplish week.
That's right.
Because that's what they are.
They are. And what's amazing is how much mileage you can get from just having that minute.
Oh, it's so true.
Like, I used to think, we need a whole weekend getaway. Mm-hmm. We need to get away. We need to, you know, we need to have this whole, and I'm realizing that sometimes just a one day unplugged can be just as valuable as a week away or a weekend away. And I think if you have somebody who is, I see couples that sometimes are out some that, the you know, the guy's really a worker and he and the woman's waiting, or the woman's really a worker and the guy's waiting. But I think it's really good to, if you have somebody in your life that, and you're a high functioning person, I think it's important to really understand the value of those small moments, to not go, I'll get to it. We're going to have that moment. I promise. It's like, it's almost like ignoring your kids for a month and then buying them the thing that they wanted. It's like, okay, that's not really the point. The point is those little moments can add up. So I agree with you. I think I used to undervalue those. And now just getting up and having a 10-minute conversation with coffee matters. And, and I loved your thought about picking fights and all that. Ben and I, we rarely have a disagreement now. But it's not because our problems are gone. Mm-mm. You know, it's not like, oh yeah, it's like, yeah, we dealt with all those. I pick my battles because I realize I have to live in the atmosphere that I create.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So if I create tension and I go, is it worth it? Because this is going to take another hour or two to get, if I want to talk about this. And I tend to put a guard on my heart, my mouth. Mm. So when I am serious, I can really let it out. Yes. But I found that it cost me too much to bring up dumb things, or to bring up things without thinking about, do we have the margin to go to really get into it?
Right. And don't you think that's just wisdom?
It is.
That's just wisdom in recognizing what actually is going to get us where we want to go.
Yes.
What is this the time? Is this the time? And I am Latina. I taught my husband how to fight. I told him a while back, I was like, why are you fighting with me? He's like, you taught me.
That's
so, I can't claim innocence. In this
you
department.
Also have sisters.
And I've got
I think
sisters.
A sister
maybe they
fight.
Taught me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. But wow, being a woman of wisdom that recognizes that my words, my actions, the way that I do or don't deliver something will have consequences. And it is my domain.
That's right.
I get to choose and be really powerful in that relationship.
Yeah.
And it's worth it.
It is worth it. So I'm curious, now that you're going into another year, you're in your 18th year, is there something that you are looking forward to?
Okay, well, my friend Kate.
Yes.
We were talking at small group a couple weeks ago, and I was with Hav and a few other remarkable friends. Friends that I get to be very vulnerable with.
Yes.
And share what's really going on in the details. And as I was doing so, my friend Kate was scheming because they had just gotten back from this kind of like yacht adventure marriage retreat in the British Virgin Islands. Okay. So she says to me after I do my share, she's like, you need to go. You guys need to get away. And even the thought of it, I'm pretty sure I laughed like between my tears as I was sharing.
Yep.
And I was just like, that's not possible. Like, we can't even, this is a really intense season. Well, we're going.
You're going.
It was 2 weeks ago. It's booked. We're going. That's the end of April.
And I was telling Hav earlier, I'm like, I still can't believe we're going to do that. Things are way too intense for that right now. But actually, it's the best thing that could happen.
It is.
It's good.
And it's that spot. It's the mm-hmm. part of the spontaneous part that goes, we need to do this. We need to jump in and do this. Yeah. And it's scary, especially when you're producing. I'm that way where I'm like, well, I don't know. I've got this to do.
Oh, yeah.
I can't unplug. We just went to Disneyland this last week. And honestly,
it is that for you, isn't it? It's just an unplugging.
I have to because I hate it because I have so much to do and I get anxious about doing it.
Sure.
And I get the whole, if I could cancel, I would, but I always get non-refundable because I know I'll pull out if I don't.
I love that.
That's one of my tricks.
Yes.
Because I know if I don't, I will pull out because I will change anything for a change fee. I'm like, it's fine.
Never convenient.
It's never, ever,
and the
ever
timing
convenient.
Is never right.
Yes. Yes.
I think it's
when you're entrepreneurial and you're a builder and you are pioneering and you're off-roading, yes. There's the part of you that just thinks once we become settlers, we'll build it.
And but we're not.
You won't.
That's not happening.
No. So I'm with you.
That's
like,
I would tell that young girl. I would tell her, you're not a settler.
Yeah.
You're a builder. You're a pioneer. That's an amazing calling. But don't be mad that you're not settling. Don't be resentful. Get super smart. Say yes to the non-refundable trip. Say yes to being aware of your needs and not thinking your husband's the only one who can meet them.
Yes.
Actually, there is resource all around so that we can live full, healthy lives. I would tell her, listen, your life's not going to be normal, but it's going to be awesome because you're going to do what you were called to do. And the way to do that is stay close in relationship with friends, close in relationship with God, get that tool belt and that team of people around you because you're going to need it. Because this is not for wimps. You're going to need it. But true. You can certainly do it.
Wow. Michelle, that is beautiful. I'm sure those that are listening and watching are like, that was the end, the crescendo of what we talked about. And I watched you do it. I watched you do it with babies when you were all alone and you're building this company. And I've just watched you do it with grace and dignity and purity and that's hard. And I've watched you do it. And I'm just so proud of you. And I hope that you guys, as you listen to this, I really hope you lean into what Michelle's saying. Because I'm her friend. I watch her do this. This isn't something she's just putting on. Like, this is something that I've watched her dig deep and find it and in purity live it out. And it's not a perfect line for all of us, but it's beautiful. And I'm so proud of you, Michelle. And I'm so grateful for your words. And I feel known because of our couple, how we are. It always makes me feel known to go,
Same.
I'm out here too. I don't know where my firewood is, but it's supposed to be here. Anyway, I love you, Michelle. I hope you guys have enjoyed this podcast. And again, I always love having friends because it's like, I know them. We do life together. I know everything she's saying is honest and authentic and I love it. But I hope that this has encouraged you. If you have friends that are in a high functioning couple world and they would like something like this, share with them. Let them know this is a great way to kind of get the conversation started or slip it into your husband's text thread or share that thing so that you guys can have the conversation around being pioneers, being out in the wilderness and trying to figure out how to do it. I hope today you felt permission. I hope today you felt grace. And I hope you got some really practical tools that Michelle gave us on how to build that sanctuary and to meet your needs and to build your team. Well, that's it for today. I love you guys. We're going to continue this whole thing this month. So stick around and I'll catch you next time.